More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, go and be reconciled. Are you struggling to heal a hurting relationship? Having a hard time finding forgiveness? We'll help you experience that forgiveness, reconciliation, and peace.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, our show is titled Go and Be Reconciled as we look at forgiveness. Are you struggling to heal a hurting relationship? Are you having a hard time forgiving or knowing what forgiveness really means in your particular situation? Are you wondering, once you've forgiven somebody, how do you reconcile and heal that relationship? Whatever your questions are about forgiveness and reconciliation today, we want to help you find forgiveness and peace. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Give us a call and let's talk about all those challenges involved in finding and giving forgiveness.
I want to address the fact that for us as Catholics, this idea of reconciliation can sometimes be slightly askew, because when we think of reconciliation, we think of the sacrament of reconciliation, and we think if we can get over all of our pride and all of our fear and get to the sacrament of reconciliation and be forgiven, even if we're the ones who haven't done the hurting but are the ones who are holding on to the hurt, if we can get there, then everything's fine. We don't think about what needs to be done in the relationship to bring the healing that the sacrament of reconciliation, as a healing sacrament, is truly supposed to bring, what our obligations are, what the other person's obligations are. And so often we just think we'll exit the confessional and the Holy Spirit will just fix it all. And then we get really tripped up and concerned and frustrated that everything isn't already perfect when we see the person or have to deal with them again.
Right, but the way that reconciliation, the sacrament of reconciliation, works is that when we go to confession, we receive the grace to restore our relationship with God, but we are still expected to go out and heal the damage that our actions have done, or the, you know, the ways that sin has impacted our relationships.
And we also receive the grace and the empowerment to live out the virtues that is going to take. We actually have to accept that and put it into place. So the idea of reconciling with someone, of healing a hurting relationship, can feel a bit difficult, can feel a bit confusing, and we're here to help you with that on More to Life today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. So are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Have you told someone that you do forgive them, but you're still feeling angry or hurt or resentful inside? How do you forgive someone who isn't really sorry or keeps doing the same things over and over? Or isn't it your life anymore, even though you still carry around that hurt? If that person isn't there for you or in your life at all, what do you do then? On the other hand, are you the person who's struggling to be forgiven? Let us help you find forgiveness and begin walking the path to reconciliation. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email, and that address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we love hearing your voice and being able to ask those follow-up questions, so give us a call right now about forgiveness and all the challenges and questions you have about it. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering what that is or how it can help you with those challenges of forgiveness, then you come to the right place, because the Theology of the Body helps us discern God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design and creation, and especially his design of our bodies.
Pope John Paul II saw mercy and the theology of the body as going hand in hand. He promoted devotion to the divine mercy right alongside the principles he outlined in the theology of the body. The theology of the body reveals that God has incredibly high expectations for us and our relationships, but he knows that we can't fulfill our destiny on our own power. All of us will inevitably stumble and fall along the way. The only way we can hope to achieve the heights we're destined for is by leaning into God's abundant mercy and forgiveness, and by sharing that same mercy and forgiveness with each other.
So at the same time, you know, forgiveness doesn't require us to pretend that an offense didn't occur or that things are better than they actually are. In fact, in the Catechism, 2843, it says, quote, "It is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense." I'm going to say that again. It's not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense. It goes on to say, "But the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory in transforming the hurt into intercession." So what we see here is that, you know, when we beat ourselves up for still feeling hurt about the hurtful thing or angry about the unjust thing, that's actually normal. And it doesn't mean that we've not necessarily forgiven the person. You know, the theology of the body reminds us that we're created for communion with others, which means that we have to be willing to work to face the offenses we commit against each other honestly and courageously, and then be willing to work together to actually heal the damage that's been done to the body of Christ. True communion can't be built if we aren't honest with each other about the damage our hurtful actions cause, and honest about the work that needs to be done to actually heal those wounds, instead of just papering over them and pretending that things are better than they actually are. The work involved in forgiveness and reconciliation is good work, but it's also hard, and it can be complicated too. And it's okay to take the time that's necessary to do it right.
It's not only okay, it's really necessary, because we're trying to cooperate with God's grace and God's healing power. And that takes work and sometimes time to make that happen, to perfect it in our lives and our relationships.
877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about forgiveness today on More to Life. Are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Maybe you've told that person you forgive them, but you still feel angry, hurt, or resentful inside. How do you forgive somebody who isn't even really sorry, or who keeps doing the same thing over and over, or isn't in your life anymore, even though you still carry around that hurt? Or on the other hand, are you the person who's struggling to be forgiven by someone you care about? Either way, let us help you find forgiveness and begin walking the path toward reconciliation today on More to Life. Once again, the number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you those people and situations where we are struggling to give forgiveness or receive forgiveness. And we ask you to help us to know how to do the work that forgiveness really requires. To not just think of forgiveness as saying the magic words, but to think of forgiveness as the invitation we give to heal the damage that's been done so that we can experience true reconciliation and, through our work and your grace, build your kingdom by making strong relationships rooted in genuine reconciliation and forgiveness. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, go and be reconciled. If you're struggling to heal a hurting relationship or know what it means to forgive or receive forgiveness, we are here for you at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lee, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ontario, Canada, on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Lee. Welcome to More to Life.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I'm attending a wedding, and I found out it's on a Sunday at a golf course. I'm close. Mm-hmm.
It says on my board that this is your niece's wedding? Is that correct?
Yes, my nephew, sorry. Okay. My nephew.
Your nephew, okay.
And I don't see them very often. They will be disappointed if I don't go. It's kind of bothering me because it's on a Sunday, it's on a golf course, and I don't see them very often. And it's just kind of still bothering me if I should go or not.
Sure. And is this your brother or sister's child?
This is my brother's.
Your brother's child. And do you have a...
My cousin's children.
Oh, okay. So this is a fairly distant relative. And as far as have these young people been practicing the Catholic faith in their lives at all?
No.
Okay.
And that comes from the parents.
Right.
Sure, sure. Okay. All right. Well, okay. so thank you for your question, and I really appreciate it.
Great question, and a lot of people just turned up the volume on their radio a little bit.
Yeah, well, so on the one hand, it's very important that we as Catholics stand for the truth of what marriage actually is, and the fullness of marriage, which we believe as Catholics that we have, and that's why we... When somebody is baptized in the church and practicing their faith, that we want to encourage them to be married in the church, because, you know, that's one of the two major sacraments of Christian discipleship, right? There's marriage and there's the sacrament of holy orders, and both of those take the baptismal mission that we received to be priests, prophets, and royals, and it teaches us how to love. You know, through holy orders, it teaches us how to love the whole world the way Christ loves us. And in marriage, it teaches us to love on a more personal level the way Christ loves us. But again, that presumes that the couple has that basic Christian formation that enables them to take full advantage of the sacrament. So, you know, if you were saying that, you know, this couple, you know, they were practicing Catholics, but they, for some reason they were thinking about not getting married in the church, then it might be important for you to sort of stage that intervention, if you will, that says, look, I can't support that because I know who you want to be and who God is calling you to be, and I want to be a part of supporting you and living that fully out. So I need, you know, in order for me to be able to come, I need this to be the way it should be. In this case, though, you're talking about two people who are not raised in the faith, who are not practicing the faith, and you're also talking about a situation where you don't have the kind of relationship where your absence from the wedding would call them onto anything, right? At best, they might miss you. At worst, they might be offended.
Yeah,
would push them further away.
Exactly. From the church. That's what I was going to say. By not showing up, you may risk alienating your cousin and their children, and then never being able to have that crack in the door to help them get to know the Lord and the church and the beauty of all of that in their own lives later on. Whereas if you can keep up the relationship, if you go and you're constantly praying for them throughout every day of your life now because God's put this on your heart so much, you take opportunities to get in touch with them or send them a little card as you go through your days, then you're building a relationship that can flourish into, over time, a discipleship relationship where they may be open-hearted enough to start saying, hey, you know, Lee is really a lovely, kind, sweet person. She's different than other people we know, and she seems to get that from her relationship with God. I want to be more like her. How do we do that? And then you really have a chance to disciple them through their relationship and their lives.
So, you know, each situation is a little different, so I'm glad you called about this, because if the circumstances were changed, we might be giving different advice.
Exactly.
But it comes down to two things, really. One, what kind of formation has the couple received? Are they practicing their faith? Have they been formed in their faith? Or have they just been sort of sacramentalized and kind of, you know, been around church but not really been involved in church?
And from your answer, Lee, it doesn't even sound like it's that much.
And secondly, does the relationship we have with them, is the relationship we have with them strong enough for our actions to motivate some kind of positive change?
Or is God asking us to work on that relationship so that we can affect positive change, inviting change, change that will evangelize them over time? Because we're saying, oh, I don't really have a relationship with this person, but this is on my heart. And you're praying to the Holy Spirit to guide you in building that relationship, if that's what God's asking you to do.
Incidentally, for all of our listeners, we talk about this more in our book, having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with our adult sons and daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. And one of the things we talk about in there is the difference between accompaniment and acceptance. So acceptance is saying, I approve of what you're doing, and I am here to fully support it. Accompaniment says, I want to keep up our relationship, and I want to appreciate what the good of what you're trying to do, but I'd like to keep talking about finding healthier and godlier ways to do it. Right? So that's different from approval. Where I'm accompanying you, I'm coming alongside of you, I'm supporting what I can, but I'm also continuing the conversation so that God can continue working through me and this relationship to help us both grow into the people that he wants us to be. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you can check out Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters.
And I realize that these are not your sons and daughters, but everyone who, you know, we want to influence toward God is somebody that he's given us to care about, to tend to. So it will work in those relationships as well, as long as we're working on building that relationship with those people that God has put in our hearts and lives.
Thanks, Lee, for the question, and I hope that these suggestions give you a clearer sense of what to do in the face of this situation. 877-573-7825. The show today is titled Go and Be Reconciled, as we talk about the struggles we have in healing hurting relationships, especially when it comes to forgiveness. You know, what does it mean, really, to forgive somebody, especially if they're maybe not sorry, or if we still have that hurt inside, or they're not in our lives anymore? Or for that matter, what does it take to get forgiveness from somebody we care about when we've been the one who's done the hurting? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls after the break.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register, and together with Matthew Bunsen, I co-host Register Radio, where every week we talk to the Register's writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insight on the important stories that impact your life. Join us for Register Radio, Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Go and Be Reconciled. It's taken from Matthew 5:23. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But today we're talking about forgiveness and the struggle to forgive someone who's hurt us. How do we forgive that person who isn't really sorry? Or when we say that we've forgiven them, but we still have that hurt inside?
How do we forgive somebody, but then achieve real reconciliation, where we trust each other, we're not triggering each other with things that we do or say, where we can have that peace together? These are all complicated conversations to have, and we're here to help you through all of those details today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're talking right now with Beth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina on Apple Radio.
Hi, Beth. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
I'm having some difficulty with my only living brother's wife.
Okay.
She doesn't want to have any relationship with me, and she has turned my brother against me.
Now, it says on our board that you told our call screener that this all started about 5 years ago when your middle brother passed and you guys all had a disagreement over the estate. Is that correct?
It was, she was, I would say, more involved than she needed to be. And there were things that she did that were very hurtful to me. And I've forgiven her for that, but then recently I had, my brother and I live about 4 hours apart, and we had lunch, and just he and I, and I gave him, I thought everything was fine. I'd forgiven her, and I gave her some jewelry that I made. Some of it was nice jewelry, sterling silver and other things, and I found out she was selling them on social media for a dollar. And then she was selling some of my mother's costume jewelry as well, and I was so hurt, and she got mad at me for being upset and said I'm no longer her sister-in-law, and we're going to see each other next month at a family gathering, and
Was this a screaming fight, Beth? Like, did you call her and just, you know, get really angry with her that she was selling things that were treasures to you and that you had given her in love? Or was it more subtle than that?
It was over a text. I sent a picture and I said, why are you doing this? If you don't want them, I want them back, and I'll give them to someone that would appreciate them.
Okay. And you said, go ahead, I'm sorry, your brother what?
My brother just said, well, I love you and I love my wife, and so we're going to have separate relationships.
Okay. You told our screener that she was turning your brother against you. Is that the case, or is
yes. Yes.
But it says yes. It's in what ways? So what's his beef with you? Is it just that he wants to stay out of the conflict, or because you're saying he wants to have a separate relationship with you?
He wants to. I have not spoken to him. We've only communicated via text, and we had a good relationship, and he just doesn't want to really be close to me anymore.
What has he stopped doing that he used to do?
Calling, you know, mm-hmm. talking on the phone.
If you call him, does he take your call?
Sometimes I'll call and leave a voicemail, and several days later I'll get a call back or a text.
Okay. All right, so he's not cut you out of his life. There's obviously some strain in the relationship, but you're here. He's not done with you or anything like that.
No. And I've prayed about it, and I've tried to resolve it in my heart.
Okay, so Beth, it's very hard, and I'm so sorry that you're going through this. We're bumping up against our hard break here in just about a minute, so I'm going to ask you to hang on over the break, and we'll have some comments to offer you when we come back. I thank you for walking us through the situation and giving us the information we need to be able to guide
you. But stay on the line, please.
When we are taking your calls as well, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Go and Be Reconciled, as we talk about, you know, how do we find forgiveness or extend forgiveness in the situation that Beth is talking about, where those offenses keep coming and it's poisoning her relationship with her brother. You know, there's a lot of hurt there. How do you forgive and find reconciliation in a situation like that? If you're struggling to forgive someone, or you've said you forgive them, but the pain is still in your heart and you're not sure what to do next, we're here to help. On the other hand, if you are the person who's done the hurting and are struggling to get forgiveness, we're here for you too. 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your calls and our answer to Beth from North Carolina.
In the world of religion, what constitutes a promise? What constitutes a vow? How do they differ? The Catholic Catechism states that the Christian is called to make promises in a number of different ways, such as in baptism, confirmation, matrimony, and holy orders. A Christian may also make promises that are uniquely his own, such as promising to say certain prayers, give alms, or make a pilgrimage. Remaining faithful to a promise we make to God demonstrates the respect due him and his divine love. A vow is a deliberate and free act of devotion in which a Christian dedicates himself to God or promises God some good work. The Church recognizes as especially exemplary those who embrace the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
People have this false notion that after the Supreme Court came out with, of course, Roe v. Wade, and gave us abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy, and all of a sudden, all of these regulations were put into place. When all of these independent abortion facilities popped up all over the country, when Planned Parenthood started opening its doors and doing abortions legally after 1973, that it was always so safe and wonderful. And they believe this because they don't see these stories about the botched abortions, the women who have lost their lives, the women who have been violated because their information has been tossed out in the street with the garbage and the medical waste, not to mention the fact that the regulations that are on the books are not even enforced, and rarely are these facilities inspected, and yet people think that they're so safe.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern. On EWTN Radio.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Why are some married couples happy while others struggle? You might think that happy couples argue less and resolve issues more efficiently than unhappy couples. But in fact, research suggests that both happy and unhappy couples argue about as much and struggle similarly with problem solving. The real difference is that happy couples consciously work toward maintaining their relationship and emotional health. For example, they create rituals for working, playing, talking, and praying together on a daily and weekly basis. Happy couples also look for ways to help each other out from day to day, little things that might make the other person's day easier or more pleasant. And then, when conflict breaks out, as it inevitably does in any human relationship, they realize that the most important thing isn't solving the conflict, but how they come to that resolution. Happy couples take care of each other while they go through that conflict so they can work to find solutions together. Marriage isn't easy, but the good news is that with a little work, any couple can find real happiness together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you'd like faithful help for your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And our show today is titled Go and Be Reconciled, as we talk about the challenge of forgiveness, both giving it and receiving it. What's the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation? What happens when we've forgiven someone, but we still feel that hurt in our hearts? What are the next steps that we need to take? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Beth from North Carolina, who is sharing that she's had a difficult relationship with her sister-in-law for a while, but especially 5 years ago when her middle brother passed away, and there were some arguments about the estate, and the relationship has continued to deteriorate. She tried to make some jewelry for her sister-in-law She gave it to her, and the sister-in-law sold it on social media for a dollar. And then when Beth tried to complain about it, just raise the issue and said, hey, I would have liked that back if you didn't want it or didn't like it, then the sister-in-law said something to the effect of, you're not my sister-in-law anymore. And it's causing difficult relationships between her and her brother now, and it's really very painful. Beth, is that a fair summary of the situation?
Yes.
Is there anything else that we should know before we offer some thoughts on...
Well, we're going to see each other at a large extended family gathering next month, and I don't know how if she comes up to me, I'm afraid she's going to say something.
And do you want to take the opportunity of the month between or the few weeks between now and when you have to see her to attempt to open a conversation and heal some of this? Is that something you feel up to doing?
I can try, but she's very closed-minded, I think, in some ways.
Okay. Yeah. And so one thing I want to say very quickly is that we're going to give some advice on how things you can do. But I want you to know that it's not your job to necessarily make this relationship work all on your own. Right. I mean, even God can't reconcile with us if we don't want to, because he respects our free will. And if this woman doesn't want to reconcile with you, but you've done your best to reach out to her, that's not your fault, and you don't have to feel guilty about that, because we can't make relationships work all on our own.
Now, I will say this. In your situation, it is a good thing to attempt to reconcile with her and let your efforts be in that direction. And one of the main reasons I'm saying that is this situation was at least exacerbated around the death of your middle brother. And we see all the time, we've experienced it in our own lives, it's amazing how many friends and colleagues we have who have gone through this. We are so uncomfortable with grief in our Western culture, so uncomfortable with it, that 9 times out of 10, we turn it into anger toward each other instead. Instead of saying, this is painful, this hurts, I'm scared, I'm lonely, I miss this person, I want to lean into these relationships so we can comfort one another. One thing, because we're so raw, or a series of things, can trigger something that ignites just a powder keg, for good reasons or sometimes for no reason, between family members, because it's better than feeling the grief. And then we're dealing with it for years and years and years and years. So because this got so much worse around the death of your middle brother, I would really encourage you to pray about the idea of at least talking to your brother, but possibly to both of them, and saying, we already lost our brother. We only have each other. You know, to your brother, I love you. I want to keep this relationship with you. I want you in my life. And I want to build this relationship and heal this between the three of us. And, you know, you can either say that to him or you can say it with your sister-in-law, either present in the conversation or in an email or something like that. And really say, I think so much of this came out of our grief. I think so much of this came out of our pain. And I would really like to stop injuring and causing more pain to each other for our own sakes and for the sake of the memory of our brother.
So what can we do to make this right? Now, I think you should do that. I mean, that I think that is a way to offer an invitation toward reconciliation. If they are what you describe, I don't expect it to work, but I think you still need to do it.
It may, in the light of really stating, I think this came from grief. That may give them a little insight.
No, and that's not against the advice you were giving. I would give that same advice. I
think but that, the sister-in-law is, a necessary is very, step. Very prickly.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a necessary step, but if it doesn't work, don't be surprised. Be okay with that, because there's still things you can do. And the reason I say that is because the way you describe her, your sister-in-law sounds a little petty, and your brother sounds a little conflict avoidant. And when you're dealing with people like that, they don't tend to like confronting the issue head-on. Right. In fact, when you offer that, which you should offer, because that's the healthy and godly thing to do, people like that will run away from it. But if that happens, it's okay. You can still work on building the relationship over time. And what I want you to do is obviously keep them in prayer, but continue to send kind of light conversational texts. Hey, this happened, and I was thinking about you. How's your day? I know this was going on and I was praying for you. I mean, just light conversational, even breezy texts. It you won't feel like doing it. You'll feel fake, but that's okay, because you're being virtuous in doing that, and you're offering a relationship that they can possibly get behind, right? You're not coming to them with problems. You're not coming to them with a big issue to resolve. You're just being friendly, and you're keeping it light, and you're building relationship over time. You can continue calling your brother and letting him, you know, and just focusing on building the relationship moving forward. You know, if he doesn't want to talk about all this stuff and he's a little conflict avoidant, again, that's not ideal, but you can still build relationship by just keeping it chatty, keeping it light, and building it from here. When they start seeing you, especially when your brother starts seeing you as, you know, he doesn't have to handle a problem every time he talks to you. He doesn't have to walk through the minefield every time he talks to you. Again, that's not what you're trying to do. But from his perspective as a conflict avoider, he sees all these things as, just one more thing I have to deal with. If you can step out of that perception by just keeping those conversations light and breezy and friendly and chatty and you know, invested in how are you guys doing, and I was praying for you about this, and I'd like to share this with you, that lets him know that you're a safe person to be around, and it makes it okay for him to want to reach out to you more. And then over time, either the relationship heals or you're able to build up enough relationship capital to be able to spend it on solving the underlying problems here. But either way, that's the way forward. Start with what Lisa suggested. But if they don't take well to it, then, you know, you can follow up with this. I have some thoughts on how to handle them whenever you're at the family gathering as
well.
That's what I was about to address myself. Great.
I mean, hopefully if you're doing this, you'll have a sense of how she's going to behave at the family gathering. And I think that if, you know, you go to this gathering, talk to the other family members that you haven't seen in a long time, you know, stay on the other side of the gathering space as much as you can, and just try to enjoy that. If she openly, you know, comes at you and attacks you, it's absolutely fine to just say, you know, the whole family is here to enjoy each other, and I'd be more than glad to talk to you about this at another time, but this is not the place to destroy this for everyone
else.
Yeah,
write that down, repeat it to yourself about 1,000 times between now and the gathering. It's just a stock response. You know, I'm sorry that you're hurting. I'd be happy to talk about this with you any other time, but right now we're here to enjoy each other's company and be a family, and I want to focus on that. Now, Yeah, and let's just write that out. And even, yeah, let's just leave it there.
Yeah,
I think that's perfect.
That's exactly where to leave it. And that way, at the very most, and if she, you know, keeps attacking you, keep repeating that. Just, you know, that thing that you've written down in practice.
I'm happy to talk about this anytime, but right now we're here to enjoy each other as a family, and I want to focus on that.
And just keep repeating that, and then excuse yourself from the situation and go move towards somebody that you think she respects a little bit more. You don't have to leave the gathering. But if there's a grandparent there or a respected aunt and uncle, just move toward them and start talking to them so she'll be less likely to follow you into the situation. But make sure people hear that you're more than willing to work on this with her, because then you're not in a bad light. She's just making herself look the fool.
All right, Beth, thank you so much for the call. I'm so sorry that this is happening to you. We've added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list. And if you would like more personal guidance on this, or if things turn south when you see her and you need some help kind of putting things back together, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. You can also check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. That's also available at CatholicCounselors.com. God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. We are going to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about the challenge of forgiveness. What does it really involve? What do we do when we still feel that hurt in our hearts, even after we said we've forgiven somebody? If you are the person who needs forgiveness and you're not sure how to get it from someone, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24.
If you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar and go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift.
And of course, as I mentioned, our show title today, Go and Be Reconciled, is taken directly from this verse. And what it points to is something we say a lot of many, many times on this show. It's kind of a regular theme for us. We try to remind people, and this is really something that comes screaming out in the theology of the body, especially that building the kingdom of God is not primarily about doing big projects for Jesus, right? I mean, that it involves that too, but really, what it involves is exactly what Matthew 5:23 and 24 is saying. It's about healing relationships. The devil hates communion. The enemy hates when we live in peace with the people that God has placed in our lives. And so sin is really the way that Satan tries to damage those relationships.
And damage our being able to see the relationship of the Trinity that we're supposed to be mirroring to people. So it's his way of destroying relationships in our earthly world, but also keeping our eyes off the beautiful relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that they then offer to us.
So building the kingdom of God really means doing this work of forgiveness and reconciliation. Not in a fake way, not in a superficial way, not in a phony way that papers over offenses and pretends things are better than they are, but in a way that says, I forgive you. And what forgiveness then means is, I'm giving you an invitation to work with me on healing this. And it's okay sometimes to forgive somebody but not be reconciled to them, because forgiveness is something you can do yourself. Reconciliation takes all the people involved to fix. But even in those situations where we can't reconcile, we can forgive, and we can continue to bring that situation to God in intercession. And that's what this verse is really all about, bringing grace into those spaces where sin has hurt and divided us. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about forgiveness and reconciliation today on More to Life, and we'll be back with more of your calls after the break.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
On Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Father Joseph and Doug Keck mind decades of phone calls answered by Mother Angelica. Mother dishes out teaching, advice, laughter, and plenty of prayers as she takes calls from her family.
Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Sunday afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Go and Be Reconciled. We're talking about forgiveness on the show. And, you know, EWTN, in addition to radio and television, produces a lot of great resources, including some terrific books to help you build your faith. I want to share with you Charles Carroll of Carrollton, American Revolutionary, by Father Charles Connor. It's a terrific biography of Charles Carroll, the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence. You can learn more about his incredible story in this book, Charles Carroll of Carrollton, American Revolutionary, by Father Charles Connor. It's available now at EWTNRC.com. With that, let's go back to taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Talking about forgiveness.
Talking with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
First, I'd like to thank you, you know, for your show and your advice. You know, I've been a listener for several years now. My situation is I'm in a marriage, and been married for 6 years. And, you know, during that time, it just seems like, you know, forgiveness is, you know, it seems I'm at the spot where, you know, anything and everything I do, you know, is wrong. And, you know, if I do something, I do an amends, you know, and we agree to that. But then another conflict comes up, and that comes right back up. I talked to four priests already. And, you know, if you forgive somebody, you do amends. You don't keep bringing up, you know, the hurting. You know, I've talked to four priests and had several conversations, and it's, you know, that okay. It's got to the point where we don't sleep in the same bed. You know, she converted the dining room into her bedroom, actually went out and bought a new bed. You know, we barely communicate. We do not pray together. We do not go, you know, she tries to avoid me to even go into mass together. I mean, it's just, there's just so many distant things because she doesn't, she says she forgives, but she holds it on to everything. And if there's a conflict, everything comes back up. She does not forgive. And, you know, for me, the last priest I spoke with was last week, and, you know, he used the word martyrdom, you know, and I almost feel, you know, that's my life, you know. It's like,
so let me ask you, when you, I mean, obviously this is an extreme situation where she's completely, you know, converted the dining room into a bedroom.
I mean, that's huge.
What would it, have you had conversations with her about what it would take for her to actually forgive you and trust you again? I mean, to actually restore the relationship. What it would take?
Yeah,
in her mind.
Yeah, and you know, that was months ago. I mean, this all started at the beginning of the year, And
was she able to give you concrete steps that would do that for her?
What does she say when you...
No.
When you...
No. You know, what I, you know, I've, you know, because there was a situation. Okay, so I'll just give you an example. You know, now this year, you know, was one of those years where, you know, Valentine's Day also fell on Ash Wednesday. You know, it was the same day. So, you know, instead of having one mass at the church, they had several because it's Ash Wednesday. You know, okay, you know, but there's a school mass. And I know her parents, which have an intention for her deceased sister, do not, her father never goes to that. But I didn't look at that, you know, so that's my fault. I didn't look at that. But, you know, I still went to that church. I went to the earlier mass. But she is holding that over my head, and her words are, she will, there is nothing I can do to repair that. And the only way for her to forget that is for us to be divorced. Those are her words.
Ouch. And I have to ask, just for clarity here, had she said to you, will you please come with me to this very important family mass, or did she just expect you to know to do that?
She expected me to know to do that, to look on that, and I didn't ask her parents, which they have an intention, because that's the day her sister passed.
Okay. All right, I've only got 4 minutes before they play us out here, so I want to be able to give you some things to work on. So... I'm glad you're talking and getting spiritual support from the priests, from your pastor. That's really important. They would be the first ones to tell you that they're not counselors. People are surprised to know this, but the priests don't receive any training almost. They might have one class in pastoral counseling.
If they're lucky.
We were actually talking to several bishops this week at the USCCB meeting in Louisville about this exact same thing. And so, you know, they can provide spiritual counsel, but they can't necessarily provide any kind of actual counseling advice. So it's going to be really important for you at least to be seeking some good faithful counseling support. If you know somebody locally, by all means reach out. If you'd like to work with us and find faithful ways to respond to this, don't hesitate to contact us at catholiccounselors.com. You can't make someone forgive you if they want to hold it over you. And there are some people who have been hurt before, and because of that they're either they're reluctant to let you in. There are other people that have learned that by not forgiving you, I can control you and make you do a little dance for me. And in a sense, their love language is unforgiveness. You know, I don't forgive you, which makes you perform, which makes you try harder, which puts you in the position of trying to win my love. And so I get you to stick around by not forgiving you. The thing, you know, she's doing all these things and she's saying, you know, the only thing that you can do to make it up is divorce me. That doesn't ring true, because if she really felt that way, she'd be divorcing you, right? So that's why I'm thinking that this unforgiveness thing is her love language, in a sense, she's found a way, or this is her way of getting you to take care of her and attend to her and dance to her tune by just not forgiving you, which of course is not healthy, spiritually or emotionally. Or relationally, for that matter, which is why I do think that you need some faithful counseling. And if she won't go, then I'd like you to go anyway, because you need to either, like, find ways to bring her along with you, or figure out appropriate ways to set boundaries with this very unhealthy behavior. Because you're right. You know, obviously, there should be, when we forgive someone, there still needs to be a piece where we say, okay, what does it take to work to heal this relationship? But your wife, based on what you're saying, is not doing that. She's just holding it over your head as a way of getting you to keep being in that one-down position and keep trying to earn her love back. So you're going to need to learn how to set healthy boundaries with that put her in the position of either saying, what do I need to do to make this right with you? Or that helps you see that she is not capable of entering into and participating in a marriage as the church defines it. One way or the other, you'll be able to get clarity if you're working with somebody who's a faithful counselor who can kind of help you think through this, both in terms of spirituality as well as in terms of trying to healing this. So I would also encourage you to pick up a copy of our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, and invite her to go through it with you, especially the sections on forgiveness and reconciliation in marriage, just what that looks like. I'm hopeful that with some good information and good support, she'd be willing to face this. If not, either way, you need more support in knowing how to deal with this and you know what things are appropriate to do to try to heal the relationship and get her love back that's not enabling this unhealthy behavior, and what to and how to set boundaries with the unhealthy dimensions of it. So if you'd like to learn more about either the book or our services, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. And we really do pray that God would show you a way through this and that you'd take advantage of the help that's available to guide you through it. Thank you so much for the call. That's all the time we've got for today's program. If you'd like to learn more about how to forgive and be reconciled and what that really requires, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com, and then get out there and celebrate the life God wants you to live, because with His grace, there's so much more to life. Have a blessed day. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.